I know a lot of folks are looking to their pastors and spiritual leaders this morning for a word. They're looking for a word for what happened this week. They're looking for a word to describe what happened this week. Some are looking for condemnation. Some are looking for support. Some are looking for anything other than what they saw. I've got a word, and I want to share it with you. So if you will, this is my political statement. I've been warned not to. I've been warned to. I've been told this. I've been told that. And I have a peace in my heart that I share this with you. So if you're looking for a word this morning, and you're looking for an official word about what happened this week from your pastor or this pastor, here it is. Are you ready? Sometimes you just need to back your ears and swallow. A media that's never tried to be fair to conservatives is now with renewed malice spinning yet another narrative of anyone that is conservative or supported Trump. And they're trying to say that because we're conservative, we're radicals. What's even worse is that we're even being called terrorists. Have you heard it? So if you're feeling just a little hopeless right now, if you're feeling a little overwhelmed, if you're feeling like your prayers are not being heard, let me remind you of some things I've been reminded of, and I share them with you from the bottom of my heart, because this, dear friend, is my political statement. Trump is not my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. President Trump has been my president and yours, but never my Lord. He has been the most pro-Israel president of my lifetime. He has been the most pro-life president of my lifetime. He has been the most pro-church president in my lifetime. And he is nowhere near perfect, just like the man standing in this pulpit. We live in a fallen world. It's broken. Amen? That's why we should not be so surprised when the world does not act like Christ's church. If you put your hope and trust in this world, if you put your hope and trust in one man, if you put your hope and trust in one party, sooner or later you're going to be disappointed, and probably much sooner than later. Sooner or later your world is going to fall apart. I love Psalms chapter 20, verse 7, which we've already quoted this morning. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Jesus said, John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Dear friends, we are told to believe in the Lord our God. Do not let fear consume you. Let me say that again. Do not let fear consume you. Do you know what one of the most common themes throughout God's Word is? Do not fear. For I have come to bear a word from God to you. This morning, can I share the same as yet a different type of messenger? Do not fear, for I have a word from God this morning. This I know. There's a brighter tomorrow for those who are believers in Jesus Christ. I remember some dark times for believers, don't you? Maybe not in your lifetime, certainly not in mine. Jesus Christ, the one who was the Messiah, His disciples were gathered together and thought that they were literally turning the world on its ear and on fire. And in the height of his preaching and his teaching and conversions and miracles and the word spreading like wildfire, Jesus Christ was arrested, was tried, and was crucified, and was buried. And it looked dark. It looked bleak. Their hopes, their dreams were buried in a tomb, but we all know what happened 3 days later. Have faith, dear friends. God is still with you. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There's trouble in our lives. Let me ask you, friend, when wasn't there? If it wasn't political, it was financial. If it wasn't financial, it was health. If it wasn't health, it was emotional. If it wasn't emotional, it was family. If it wasn't family, it was neighbors. Listen, folks, trouble is with us till the day we go home. And I don't mean in Magnolia. The truth is that there's trouble in our life. There will continue to be trouble in our life. And let me just tell you the truth. Over the last 4 years, it doesn't matter what party you're from, the Republicans didn't fix it. The independents are not going to fix it. And I don't believe the Democrats are going to fix it. But this is what I do know. Are you ready for my political statement? This is what I do know. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is coming back to get me. Christ has redeemed my heart from my sin and has promised me a place in His heaven. And I know He is coming back. I know that there is going to be a day that we are going to be able to put the government back on His shoulders. And He will rule and He will reign because He is the wonderful Counselor. And I say, Lord Jesus, come quickly. There is your pastor's political statement. With that thought, can I preach? Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? Matthew chapter 10. I want to share some good news. I want to share a word that I pray will encourage your heart today. Something you can take home. Something you can share with your neighbor. Something you can post without getting... Well, I'm starting to say that you could post it without getting exempted, without getting what you call it... censored? You probably will. Try. I pray that you'll be able to share some information that will put some people at ease because they remember who's in charge. Let me share with you from Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 through 33. Scripture says, Jesus' teaching said, a disciple is not above his teacher. Are we above ours? Are we above our Lord? Nor is a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub or Satan, how much more will they call those of his household? You understand what he's saying? It's nothing new to be called treacherous and a traitor because you stand for what's right and what's good. If they call Jesus Satan, what do you think they're going to call his followers? People, this is a brand new problem, right? It's been going on for thousands of years. He says, if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. Do you hear it? Everything's going to come to light. And nothing hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach to the housetops. In other words, what's whispered to you, you shout it. And do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Their friends is a deeper understanding and need of our hearts. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. Wait a minute. What did that say? Right there. Verse 31. It's up on the board. What are those first three words? Say them with me. Do not fear. Therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So we back up one verse, and I want to go to that next to the last, therefore. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men. Dear friend, that is our call. We may not be able to interpret political signage. We may not be able to share what we think is best. We may know and have a hard time putting it in words, but this we can do. Confess in whom we have our hope, and for those who need it, for them to hear. Father, we are thankful for your word. It does indeed encourage us in a time where there is much discouragement. Today, would you help us to see and to hear and to heed and to obey your word. God, would you take the logos that we've just read and turn it to the rhema, where it burns in our heart. Not just a general word, but a word that excites our heart because it's from you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Jesus tells us not to fear. He does not want us to fear those who can harm us. Listen. I want you to understand this. You know, we always say, well, I'm under God's hand. I'm under God's protection. And we are. If you belong to God, if you are God's ambassador, and you are obedient to the Lord, there is an umbrella over you that no one can touch you except God wills it. But he wants us to understand that we don't have to fear those who can harm us. Verse 26 says, do not fear them, those who can harm you. Listen, God knows their thinking. God knows what they're doing. Did not God's word say that in the end times they're going to say that right is wrong and wrong is right? And those who are doing right are the wrongdoers, and the wrongdoers who are doing the wrong are the right ones? Did he not say that? Why are we surprised? Why do we get upset and go, oh, the world's falling apart? Listen, it's been told to us a long time ago. If you'll just get in the Word of God and get prepared for it, you'll be a lot better prepared. God's Word says, expect it. I don't know why it is that we have people that come to us and even family and friends, and they treat us poorly and we're surprised. Listen, when the world acts like the world, don't be surprised. We, dear friends, just need to make sure that we keep our eyes on the Lord. Verse 16, if you should want to take time to go back this afternoon and look at chapter 10, verse 16, it says indeed that there are some things that can get us. He didn't say one or two or three. He gave a list of things that are out to get you. Listen, what's the old saying? Just because you're not paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. We're not supposed to be paranoid, but listen, the world doesn't like you very much because you stand for a standard that's different from theirs. Verse 16 says that the ravenous wolves are out to get you. That's those who are outright against God and want you eaten up. The religious persecutors are mentioned in verse 17. Those who think they know better than anybody else, and so they want everybody else to be silenced and shut up because their way is so right that they're afraid anybody might overturn them. Verse 18 talks about political authorities who are out to get you. Verse 21 through 22 talks about your very own community and your own family that might be out to get you. So right there, from the words of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different verses of different things of people out to get you. So you're not paranoid. You just need to be prepared. God never said that the threat is not real. Although we are Christ's ambassadors, Jesus never guaranteed our physical safety. You know what he did guarantee? His providence, his care. That nothing would ever touch you except by his permission. Loyalty to Jesus Christ. Service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Guarantees our spiritual peace. We'll never be separated from God. We'll never be separated from his Spirit. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 38. I read it to you as we started this service. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the will of God. But it never guarantees our physical safety. It just guarantees that our love and loyalty to Him will stand firm. Did you know that God's Word even says that the number of hairs of our head are numbered? Some of us, it takes a little longer for that these days. Amen. Some of us have fewer. Some of us have more. And yet, the God's Word says that when one falls out, when I start trying to do the comb over, I lose one or two. God knows it. Let me ask you, how important is that to God? Apparently, it's important to God. He even knows the number of hairs that are on my head. Why? Because He cares about me. He knows everything about me. If He knows the very number of hairs on my head, surely I need not fear premature death. Surely I need not fear what might come to me, for God knows everything about me. I am under God's providence. I am under God's care. And God will grant us our allotted years of service here on this earth, whether few or many. God knows. Our Heavenly Father knows us. And He knows our needs. He knows. Listen, if my hair falls out, He knows I'm going to need a cap in the sunshine. If my health fails, He knows I'm going to need His strength. God, dear friends, is not characterized by ignorance. God is characterized by foreknowledge. He knows everything. Matthew chapter 6 verse 8 says, your Father knows what things you have need of even before you ask Him. Everything you need. He says, your Father knows. Now that verb, that word knows is a verb. And from the Greek, if you want to go back and look at it, it's oidon. Now, why is that important? Because it doesn't mean it's general knowledge. It means intuitive knowledge. It means He has it, has had it, will have it. And although God does not determine what we do because He has given us free will, He does work the things around us for our best interest when we seek His heart. God's Word says that. That's why Romans 8:28 is one of our favorite verses. Let's read it together in Romans 8:28, and let's read verse 29. It goes with it so well. It says, "And we know that all things work together for what? For the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." It doesn't say that everything happens to us is good. Hello, people. It says all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, listen to this. For those that God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, dear friends, He is saying here, and we're going to talk about these words and what they mean. He's saying, God knows what you need. God's working for your good, and He predestined these things, not for your good in just anything, but in a specific thing. Let me tell you what that means. What is our good? What is it that God considers my good? That word good from Romans 8:28, He says, "And all things work together for good to those who love the Lord." That word is the word, again, from the Greek, agathon. Now, why is that important? Because it does not mean your worldly success, which is what we think it means. It does not mean how full your bank accounts are. It does not mean how healthy you are. It does not mean how big a house you live in. It does not mean how trouble-free your life is. That word does not mean worldly success. It means our literal development in a relationship to God. When He says all things work together for the good, He is not saying all things work together for your bank account, for your house, for your job, for your car, for your kids, for your life. He says all things work together for your relationship with God. Do you see the difference? And yet we think, oh, that means all the stuff I want. Not at all. What God considers our good, dear friends, is a closer relationship with Him. That's what that means. Romans 8:28 and 29. Don't forget verse 29 to go with it. We are predestined, the Scripture said, to be conformed to His image. And what He allows us to go through conforms us to be more like Him. We grow closer to Him. That's what He says is for our good. Is it not true? Stop and think a minute. Is it not true that we are finding that it is our trials and not our prosperity that make us more dependent on God? Listen, it's been that way throughout history. Israel gets blessed by God. Listen, you know, we're so, I tell you what, I love to look in here and look at those dumb Israelites. I think, man, they're some of the dumbest church members I've ever seen in my life. Things get going right. God blesses them, and they turn their back on God. God puts them through hardship. And it gets worse and worse and worse and worse until they finally cry out to God. And they cry out to God. And God says, okay, I'm going to give you some relief. He gives them some relief. He restores them. And they forget who restored them. And they turn their back on God. And I'm going, wait a minute. This is a cycle that needs to be broken. Are y'all with me? Come on now. I like to look at the Israelites and think about how dumb they can be. And so the cycle just goes on and on and on. And things get better, and we get prosperous, and things are going so well. And instead of turning to God in revival, we get more and more like the world, and God pulls back again, and we go, oh, no. I'm not saying that you're dumb as Israel. I'm just saying. Listen to James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Really, God? I mean, have you ever read Scripture with a coherent mind? We read this and we I'm going to tell you, we get the spiritual nod like the little dog on your front of your Volkswagen. My brethren, consider it all joy when you fall into various trials. And we're going, spiritual, word. And yet when it happens, we're the first ones to go, what? Consider it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know what that's saying? We are in a constant process of being purged from stuff of this world to try to be more like Christ. And that just doesn't happen in the days of comfort. God is concerned with those days of the little things just as much as He is in the days of the big things and the difficult things. He's concerned with the small matters as well as the great. And God works through so many things in your life that you think are big, but He also works in those things that are small, trying to get you ready for the Januaries of 21s. He worked with you through December to get you ready for January. He worked with you through November to get you ready for December. He worked with you through 19 to get you ready for 20. And if you miss those little lessons, if you miss those little things that are coming along, and you don't grow when you get the chance, you don't plant and you don't grow some roots in those times, you wither. God wants you to be stronger, and He works to you and through you on the small things every day. Like the fact that you finally get an early morning devotion started in your life, and that's when your kids decide to start getting up on their own early. So you decide to have it at night, and that's when your spouse comes in and needs more time. You decide to have a quiet time at work, and all of a sudden those quiet breaks are gone because you're called on. It doesn't matter what it is. Satan loves to thwart your activities that lead you to come to God. That's why it's so important for the little things to be working. And that's why He said, you know, He gives us the illustration of the sparrows, and He gives us the illustration of the hairs on our head. Listen, if you fail to learn to trust God in the little things, you're not going to trust Him in the big things. If you won't learn to trust God when you're standing on the cabinet as a child to jump to Daddy, you're not going to jump off a building or the bridge to Him either. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Those big times in life don't come by accident. And I'm going to tell you, you got to learn to trust Him and walk with Him before you can run with Him. I like what C.H. Spurgeon said. There's a number of things he says that I really like, but I like this one. He said that God's providence knows nothing of things so little as to be beneath His notice. Nothing of things so great as to be beyond His control. Nothing is too little or too great for God to rule or overrule. And all God's people said. Here's our truth this morning. God provides for us at the proper moment. God's Word says that He provides. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And there is no testimony, no Bible narrative that is quite so prime an example as the life of Joseph. Amen. If you haven't read the life of Joseph, go back and read in Genesis chapter 30 and there so far beyond up through 50. But the life of Joseph is a prime example of God working all things out in due time. You know the story of Joseph. He was a bit of an arrogant young man, and he began to share the dreams that he had that God gave him, and his brothers hated him and sold him into slavery, wanted to kill him, sold their brother into slavery. Once he was sold into slavery, he did well and he overcame, and then he was lied on and was put in prison. So he became a prisoner. And yet God still took him and raised him up, and he became second in command over all of Egypt. And God interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh through Joseph, and Joseph saved the land from the famine, and his whole family was saved, and a whole nation, not just Egypt, but the nation of Israel was saved because they prepared for the famine through God's preparation through Joseph. You remember all of that. But you also remember that he had gone through all of years upon years upon years of hardship, of slavery, of prison life. And as his brothers stood before him, he had a chance to get his revenge. And Joseph told his brothers, notice that I wrote it wrong in my outline. It's not Genesis chapter 5, it's Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Joseph said, "As for you, you meant it for evil against me." You ever think anybody in this world means some evil against you? Maybe even a brother? "But as for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive." This world may seem unfair and wrong and cruel and mean and dirty, but if you allow God to work, there is no telling what God can do. You know, because of our fallen nature, we wish to have God's provision early. Amen? We don't like to wait. We're not a people. Listen, we are a fast food society. We are a get it now, instant and on demand. Because of our fallen nature, we have trouble waiting on God. We want what He's got for us now. We want it early. We want a healthy bank account before the bills come. We want medicine in the cabinet before we get sick. But I want you to notice that all throughout God's Word, from the beginning to the end, all throughout God's Word, God never acts, God never provides until the exact moment of necessity. When the Israelites got to the Red Sea, it had not already parted. It was still there, and here comes Pharaoh's army. When they were hungry, God didn't fill their pouches. God provided in the morning and in the evening. How many times? It's our job, dear friend, to learn to trust the giver of the good gifts. Hello, listen to me. It is our job to remember to trust the giver of the gifts, not to depend on the gift itself. That's hard. I want you to recall that it was not until the very hour of Christ Jesus' crucifixion, the wee hours of the morning as he was preparing to face the cross, that Jesus began to ask, "Lord, Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me." You remember? And yet, even though the prospect of the cross, even for the Son of God, was agonizing, Jesus didn't say, "This is what will be done." Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." You know, the scripture we read right from the beginning in Matthew chapter 10, verse 25, it says, It's enough that a disciple be like his teacher and a servant like his master. Folks, this is exactly what Christ is saying to us, that we are to strive to be like him. And just as Jesus committed himself to the will of the Father, so should we. You may not like the political climate. You may not like the political players. You may not like the market. Dear friend, let me tell you, are you in service to the King? Are you in service to Christ Jesus? Are you a disciple of the Lord? Are you a servant of the Master? Then let's be committed to Him. Jesus tells us not to be anxious and not to fear, because His providential care is sufficient. He says, if I care for these sparrows, if I care for the grass, if I care to count the number of hairs on your head, trust me. It'll do us all well to remember that God is more concerned about our love relationship with Him than He is for our comfort. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, for those who are called according to His purpose, for we are predestined to be like Him. So let me just say it again. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. All things work together for us to be called closer and closer and closer to Him because we love Him, no matter what our circumstances are. And I'm going to tell you this. I've preached a lot of sermons. I don't know how many. But one of the things that I have learned is that the most important part of a sermon is not that you listened to it, that you heard it, not that you remember it, but what you do with it. What do you do with God's Word? I serve a risen Savior. He's in this world today. And I know that He's living, no matter what a political house might say. I know that He lives because He lives in my heart. That I'm going to share. And I ask you, will you seek His good for you in this so that you can share His Word with those who don't have it? Pray with me. Lord, we sing the songs. It's all about You, Lord. It's all about You. We even sing one that says, I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. It's supposed to be all about You. God, help us to get there. No matter what's going on in our world, help us to proclaim the truth of our Lord. No matter who says they're in charge, whether we like it or don't, Lord, help us to remember that we serve the risen King, Jesus. Help us, Lord, not to be about ourselves, but to be about Your kingdom. And to remember, Lord, that You did not seek our comfort here. You sought our close relationship here. So when You do the things around us and allow the consequences to fall, and things get difficult, God, let us be drawn closer to You, to be more like You, to share with a lost world a word of life.